getting settled. Honorable Van Damme and Honorable Kalako, the meeting is on. Don't disturb the meeting. Now that everybody has taken coffee, I just want to declare this meeting open. And maybe start by, I hope the minister is on the way. The minister and deputy, I hope they are on the way. But I want to read the apologies first before I open. I have my opening remarks on behalf of the committee. Mr. Matisha, I don't like this. The apology can only say the person has prior arrangements, not qualified by important prior arrangements, because this meeting is also important. Talk to their secretaries so they must communicate with us properly. The deputy minister, there is an apology that she has attended a cabinet committee meeting. Those are the only two apologies that I have received. But in welcoming all of us here in the meeting, when we are going to deal with the SABC, I think we'll get more clarity from the minister as to how far are we in terms of appointment of the board by the president. Because it's the matter that gets us talking. As the committee and as political parties. So South Africans are looking upon us as to when is this going to be done by the office of the president. Two, honorable members, there are two letters that I have received. And I think people who communicate with the committee, particularly these two from SABC, in order for matters of the committee to be attended properly with speed, correspondence must also go to the office of the secretary of the portfolio committee. I have a letter from BIMAO, and I have a letter from the Group of Eight. Remember the eight journalists? I have that letter, but when I checked this morning with the secretary, those letters haven't gone to him, because immediately he receives those letters, he must acknowledge receipt. Of course, he received the BIMAO letter, and he acknowledged receipt. And the letter from the Group of Eight journalists was sent straight to me as the chair of the committee. And that letter is in support of what BIMAO is raising. Without getting into details of the letter raises the issues of appointment of or extension of the time of acting group executives, but also raises other questions of the meeting of Luthuli House and all of that. The letter will be circulated to members. I'm only saying that I have received that email dated 9th. I've seen it this morning, a letter from the aid journalist. And the one from that letter from aid journalist is in support of the Bimau letter. Those letters will be attended to properly on behalf of the committee. We'll respond to them. We'll process those issues. But I think some of those issues will come from the presentation or the briefing from SABC. I wanted to start there, members, so that South Africa is aware that some of the matters are handled by the Office of the Minister in terms of the SABC board. And then we can talk from the position of from the informed position when we talk. I listened to radio this morning, the usual morning show, and they were raising all sorts of questions. Correctly so, because the matter of SABC board non-appointment is a matter of concern to all South Africans. We don't blame South Africans to raise their questions. Today, members, we are going to get a presentation from the minister who's going to lead the presentation from SABC. And then we can deal with all these questions that I've raised in my opening that are related to SABC when the minister, when we raise questions to the minister and the entity. Those are the two apologies, members. Do you accept the two apologies? Deputy Minister is in cabinet committees, and Madisha has a prior arrangement. Anyone accepting the apologies? Honorable Gungubele?
I propose to accept the apology, Chair.
Yes, seconded by Honorable Tseti. Thank you. Can we, unless the other things, Honorable Kalako?
Thank you, Chair. on what you have just reported to us, because we received this, I think all members, as an open letter to members of the committee on what Bimau was raising, which of course we accepted for, because any South African can raise those questions, they are right. But Chair, I want just to inform the committee, I've replied to them, saying, look, it's good that you are bringing the matter to us, who are dealing and your concerns about the SABC, but it's... there's no need to write an open letter to us. You have a right to demand in this committee. You call the committee, you come and present and put your position. I was raising that so that anyone must know it's their right and it's a South African citizen that you can come in this committee. You write directly to the chairperson, you say, chairperson, want to come and actually raise this matter with you. So that's one thing. Then on the second thing, which I think we must deal with this thing, Chair, I understand the aid journalist at the time, but if they are going to continue in this manner within the SABC, they are forming themselves into a clique which is going to give a problem and which is going to now make us, when we look at them, we look at them as now they are forming themselves into some sort of another parallel organization within SABC. There's nothing wrong in raising matters. Their issues were dealt with. We are still dealing with those issues. But where it is wrong, when they persist as saying we are at this group of these journalists, then that gives another impression. I think we should actually discourage that from them acting like that. They have all every right to act and come to the committee and raise the issues with parliament, whatever issue. But once they continue saying we are this block of journalists within the SABC, that is going to give us problems. So I wanted just to raise that. They can continue to raise whatever they want to raise, but they must not form themselves within an organization as a clique. Thank you, Chair.
Can we also deal with that? Because both letters are open letters. One is from Bimao. Is this an open letter? And the other one is from the group of eight journalists. Can we deal with both of them? Because I want a situation, members, where even if it's an open letter written to all members, the committee must respond. Now, as the committee. Individually, you can respond, but I think we can't let it loose in that fashion. There must be a response. Honorable Van Damme and Kokubela.
Thanks, Chair. I certainly agree that there needs to be a substantive response from us as a committee. I think from SABC management, we hear one side of the story, and we have a duty to also hear the other side of the story from the people that work at the SABC. We are, after all, the people's parliament, when we're here to also represent the interests of the people of South Africa, which the SABC staff form part of. So I would suggest that in giving that response, like we would do with any other body, we would meet with them face to face and hear in detail what it is that their concerns are. So I would suggest we either invite them here or we go to them to hear in full detail what those concerns are. I think we have a duty to deal with the people that have approached us as a committee of parliament and deal with those concerns in detail and hear and ask questions about what it is that they've raised.
Thank you, Honorable Kumbela.
Probably, I think, in the trust of Honorable Badar, we need, let's formally process it so that we engage and respond. But I don't want anyone to undermine what Honorable Kalago is saying. You see, when there, we cannot prescribe association of people. And that's not an attempt by Honorable Kalago to prescribe association. Honorable Kalago says, if you raise something at a particular point in time, having a particular name, and there has been an intervention, the humble request is that be part of the bigger process in resolving issues, because you became what you are through a particular history, unless the history prevails. And I think that's the principle that Honorable Kalago is raising. We are requesting Group of Eight to make sure that they are part of resolving of the problem in SAPC. They must not create a situation where they isolate themselves, but no one is prescribing association.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kumbela. So I hear that we must call the individuals. The individuals are you know, when they first, their first line or sentence, they say at the start, we as SABC 8 want to affirm the good work done in 2016 by Parliament Portfolio Committee, Ad Hoc Committee, and Interim Board. Now, and they proceed to raise a number of questions. By the way, you do have the letter, isn't it? So you have the contents of the letter. I may not read the contents of the letter, but at the end, the signatures, you don't have it, no? So what it means, it was not sent to all members. It was sent to the chair and political parties. Honorable Van Dijk, do you have the letter? Was it directed to you or directed to Honorable Van Dijk? The open letter. I just want to determine as to whether it went to political parties, because Kalako is representing political parties, Van Dam and all of that. Is that the case?
I received the chair, but I'm not sure if it was sent to the whole committee.
Yeah, it was not. It's very clear it was not. And therefore, I don't know if political parties did respond, because I think they must. I think they must, as political parties. In fact, they have a right to do that. But collectively, as the committee, we must take a decision as to how we process the matter. And I think the view that says we must call those who wrote on behalf of BIPAO and those who wrote on behalf of SABC 8. And I want to tell you, the SABC 8 who wrote to us is Thandeka Qubule Mbeki, Busisiwe Ntuli, Krivani Pillay, Futa Krike, Lukanyo Kalata, Vuyo Mvoko, Jackie Steenkamp, Nonkululeko Zonke Smith, as a convener of SABC 101 News Technical Staff. That's the group SABC 8. Those are the people, as I hear the recommendation or the decision, that we must call. Because I don't believe we must go anywhere. We don't have that time. People who wrote to us, they must come to Parliament so that we hear them. But also the BIMAO leadership, I hear that we must call all those people and listen to them. Whatever decision we'll take, it will be after we have listened to them. I think that's the way to go, members. Agreed? But again, we say political parties, as they were copied, they have a right to talk to them if they want, as political parties, but not as the Portfolio Committee on Communication. Minister Gata? On the matter.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much. I'd just like to ask that if this is going to be extended, it must be extended to everybody who writes to the Portfolio Committee, because there are many more people that I know have written to the Portfolio Committee, and there are many more that will still write to the Portfolio Committee. So if it is agreed to on this one, it must be agreed to on everyone else.
That's the proposal, as people communicate with us, we must attend to all of them. Honorable Kungvela.
I don't want to ask the status of the minister in raising that comment. All I want to say is that the attitude of the committee is to listen to everybody. I don't want to give it any other name, so that is not new. I wanted to leave it. There's never been an attempt not to listen to anyone. I would propose we leave it.
Covered. I think we'll process issues as we have done. Because South Africans are South Africans, if they want to talk to the committee, they write to the committee chair, and then we respond accordingly. If we think that we must call that individual, we'll call. But if we think we can, through correspondence, satisfy the person who can do that. Is that the way to go? Or is that the way to further? Thank you very much, honorable members. I think we're done with this matter. The decision is very clear that as soon as we have space, we call the union. And calling the union and the group of, how do you call group of eight? SABC 8, because there was a group of eight in the ANC a long time ago. So I always go back to the group of, is the SABC 8. Because the SABC 8 was supporting what Bimau was raising, we can call both of them at the same time. Great. That's the decision. We'll work out the dates, and everybody from this committee is allowed. Minister can be there, deputy can be there, because they are part of the committee. I think we're done with the. If I can borrow, we're done with the house rules. You know, the surname, your new surname is very difficult. I'm used to Van Dam. Now that we are married, maybe you must write it there so that.
Yes, Van Dam. I'm going to keep Van Dam for professional purposes because everyone knows that name and it's easy.
Yeah. No,
the other one is for.
I was just.
Yeah.
We would like to know the other one.
Confuse the masses. Chair, before we proceed into the presentation, I have a legal question that I kind of need settled in my mind. In terms of the law, the bodies that accounts to us about the SABC and its annual reports would be the board. The minister, of course, can do so, but also in conjunction with the board. Now, here we sit without a duly constituted board. What does the law say?
Not that I didn't expect that question. I expected that question because you're right. The minister leads the board to account to the committee. If you like, she gives the political overview of the entity, not necessarily the administration part of it. And then the board will come and deal with the issues of the board. Now we don't have a board. Members, that's the question you must answer. Do we allow the minister to account without the board? But Vaizani Batagazi about Kashola Londo. I'll give Honorable Kalako and Honorable Tsedi.
Chair, I think this is really a valid question and it's an issue which in any case this committee have expressed itself on the delay on the appointment of the board. Our position, I think, is known publicly. But I think, Chair, we should continue under this situation to receive, the minister is here. Let's continue to get and the department is here to get the report. But I think we should emphasize and again appeal to those who actually have to do their part to make sure the board is in place, that we need this board in place as of yesterday. We can't emphasize that anymore, more than that. We need this board to be in place so that the governance of the SABC is in place. Because even the minister herself is not working properly without the board being there in dealing with the matter. So I will plead that let's allow the department and the minister to present whilst as a committee we're dealing with the matter of the constitution of the board.
Mr. Tsedi?
Now that Honorable Kalako has made his point, Chair, I'm now compelled to just second that let's proceed with the presentation. And of course, as he has indicated, the importance of us pushing the authorities to finalize the issue of the board. But I support the view which says let's proceed with the work at hand.
Unless one says let us not proceed. If Honorable Kungbele, you want to say let us not proceed, I'll give you. But I'll come back to you. Honorable Fanda?
Chair, ordinarily I would say we must send them packing. There is no board. It is the board that accounts to us. But there are very serious, urgent issues at the SABC that require response. I don't want to give them a get-out-of-jail-free card. We have questions that need answered. And on that basis, I would say they must stay and present the report as has been given to us. But I think we must raise... We have raised a serious objection to the fact that there's been a delay in the board. And also, I've seen in media reports, some at the SABC saying, you know, things are, it's okay that there's no board, things are functioning as they should be, which is a seriously, seriously concerning position to take. It is a huge problem that there's no board. And that, you know, it's not right that they're saying that. So, yeah, normally I'd say they must take their bags and go. But there are serious issues that need answers today, and for that reason, they can stay.
Politicians. Honorable Kungbele?
No. Chair, I agree with the trust that we need the information. But I think the last time I remember, unless that law is not the way I understand it, is that even the board reports in Parliament through the minister. Now, when you talk about the minister, you're talking about the executive authority on the 100% shareholder. So it's not just an ordinary person. So I thought it is important to state that principle. But if there are legally obvious problems, we need to be advised.
I think let's proceed, members. Let's proceed with the understanding that it's an awkward... It's an awkward situation that we don't have a board because surely the minister cannot operate without the board. No? Must not operate without the board. The minister needs the board, just like we do. We can't continue, I think that's what the members are saying, we can't continue with a situation where there is no board. Because the board is dealing with, if you like, day-to-day governance issues in the SABC, like any other entity. And the minister is an executive, there, it's not the board member. So I think the meeting agrees that we proceed for now with this loud voice that says we really need this board as in yesterday. Honorable Minister Zotto.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable members, thank you very much. I will just set the scene and remembering as well that the Auditor General has taken us through his issues or the AG's issues with regards to the SAPC last week. I will just put in place on objectives and targets not achieved and what it is that we would be doing to ensure that we achieve that. On the net profit, one of the indicators was net profit before tax, and for the 2016-17 target, it was 3.4 million. The actual achieved was a loss of 1 billion. And the reason for non-achievement is that all revenue streams underperformed against budget and also showed a year-on-year decline. Constrained economic conditions, advertiser clients cut back across the industry and households with low disposable income. But I think we all know that as I present this, the backdrop of what the portfolio committee or the ad hoc committee had actually undertaken in terms of the inquiry that was held into the fitness of the SABC here in Parliament. The planned interventions would be the clawback strategies to increase advertising and television license revenue, but also innovative trading models for radio, television, and digital media sales are being devised and implemented to ensure optimization of the SABC's commercial inventory. The other one is maintain a minimum cash and cash equivalence balance of 600 million. That too was not achieved, owing to a lower cash collections at the SABC. We had to use its reserve, reserves to fund infrastructure capex projects, acquire sports rights, and broadcast events of national interest. The next one is the number of provincial properties and inserts on broadcasts. There were 360 inserts and two properties that were the target. 333 inserts achieved and one property, and the under-delivery was as a result of delays in finalizing production contracts and challenges regarding financial crisis. On additional channels to be carried on the DTT transmitter networks, two channels, SABC News and Anchor. SABC News is available on DTT platform. SABC infrastructure is ready to carry all five channels on DTT. Anchor still needs to be included on SABC DTT services. It could not be done in the year under review owing to DSTV contractual issues as well as a lack of resources from SABC side to package the channel. And we say that the SABC intends to include Anchor to its DTT platform and has requested ICASA to extend its license for this channel. Feedback is still being awaited from ICASA regarding the extension. On developed and approved technology project plan for digital library, SABC business requirements issue RFI and RFP. Business requirements were reviewed and business case was approved by the FIPT in March 2017, subject to budget availability. The RFI and RFP were not issued owing to SABC's financial constraints. It would not have been prudent to continue with the tender when the SABC has no funds. And this is the intervention would be a key project for the SABC to ensure DTT readiness, and this is what we're working on with the Digital Migration Advisory Council that we have put in place, and the SABC participates in that. On radio play-out system, signed contract with service provider and approved project plan, implement operational and system requirement milestones, user interface between landmark and production systems. Proof of concept was signed with service provider to deliver radio station's production play-out system installed at RSG studio and radio park server room. The remainder of the project plan will be rolled out in 2017-2018. The next one is upgrade of FCC playout automation, complete user requirements and evaluation of RFI responses. The RFP was awarded, contract sign-off with service provider approved project plan. The business case was approved, user requirements and evaluation of RFI completed. FCC upgrade business case was presented to BAC but not approved. And the business case to be resubmitted in the 2017-2018 financial year. Workforce plan approved and implemented. Workforce plan was not implemented 100%, but was, however, used to contain headcount through vacancy management. The workforce plan was submitted to ESCO, was not submitted to ESCO due to a change of strategic leadership and therefore a change in focus. The workforce plan was therefore not implemented. Now we're looking at a career progression framework and a policy which already have been developed. The framework has been conditionally approved for implementation by ESCO. The policy was presented to organized labor for consultation. The framework will be piloted in human resources. On the approved performance management implementation plan and performance contracts in place for all staff, entrenchment of performance management by 2016, 100% sign-off contracts for all employees by 30th April 2016. This was supposed to have been done, but the performance management was not implemented. However, training in the new performance management system was provided during the year, and this is one of the issues that I came into the SABC to implore that they need to work on this very, very quickly, because we can't have a situation where senior management do not have performance agreements signed and bonuses are paid out. And one wonders what the bonus payments are actually premised on if there's no performance agreements in place. Scarce and critical training needs identified and addressed through WSP. Here there was a 26% achievement, and this is due to operational challenges with regard to procurement of training resources. The WSP training target could not be achieved. And what we intend to do is to ensure that the WSP is aligned to the training of scarce skills and critical skills, monitor and manage training very closely in order to ensure achievement of targets. Financial constraint is a problem, and the SAPC cannot pay some of the training service providers. Assess, revise, and document internal controls. The identification of as-is processes, key controls, and gaps for the following were completed. Supply chain management, fixed assets, accounts receivable, financial statement close. Project Benisa was put on hold during the fourth quarter, and investigation was conducted on the service provider for payment against deliverables. And the SABC is placing renewed focus on improving internal controls. The mapping of processes is being done by internal staff. Policies are being reviewed and amended. Internal and external audit findings are addressed through quarterly targets that have been set. Chairperson, from here, the acting CEO should take over.
Thank you very much, Minister. Over to you, acting CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the members. The approach we're going to take, I'm just going to give an overview of the presentation that was sent out to you, and then I'll hand over when it gets to the numbers so that the acting CFO can take you through the numbers. So just to reiterate that our role really is to ensure that we fulfill our mandate obligations and also to provide a national service as a public broadcaster to all our citizens by educating them and informing them, and also that the SABC operates in a democratically and culturally diverse environment, and we do our best to try and ensure that we honor those principles. Whilst we are aware of how we are becoming part of the global market, we also are aware of the importance of local content in terms of how our consumers actually enjoy seeing themselves on television and telling stories about themselves. So we are very mindful of keeping ourselves as authentic as possibly we can. We also have an important role to strengthen active citizenry by making sure that we cover all aspects of things that are happening in the country. We also have got a lot of we've got a focus on the outcome 14 of the National Development Plan from a social cohesion point of view. It's one of the responsibilities that we focus our activities on. Just at a glance to show the members that SABC, as much as we have not had the best of performance financially, but from a public service point of view, we have been able to reach our audiences and provide the public service that we are positioned to provide with. Ukhozi still leading the audiences, as it is now the second most listened to radio in the world at 7.6 million at last check. And also from a television point of view, that SABC 1 in itself is still reaching about 28 million viewers per week, SABC 2, 26.9, and SABC 3, 21, respectively. We still are not doing as well as we should in terms of SABC News and ENCO because our digital migration is not progressing as well as we would like to. And these are the two areas that we are focusing on next year to make sure that there's an uptake on DTT and that our muscles are able to access those channels. I think we started talking about the interventions. The minister started giving a response on what we're going to do about the stuff that we didn't do so well. But just to give a background is that these are the four pillars that we... These are four pillars of the SABC. One is financial sustainability, content and platforms, human resources and governance. So from a financial sustainability point of view, we operate, as a public broadcaster, we operate in a very commercially driven environment because of our funding model where it's highly dependent on advertisers. But we also have an issue around the cost of a sports right. So it's a very difficult environment from that point of view, but we have been able, in spite of all of that, we have been able to achieve, in the year under review, we've been able to achieve effective coverage of elections. We were also able to cover the Olympics and some of other big sporting events.
But at the end...
At the end of the fiscal, which was March, we then hit a financial crisis, and I think that it's important to say that yes, the crunch happened around March, but I think that the problems were coming through the year in terms of the performance in the last fiscal. We had a lot of reasons from how we changed strategies from TV license collections and also the way cutbacks in the TV licenses. We also had a problem in the implementation of the system at the beginning of the fiscal. So that has led us to where we are now in terms of the net loss that we have reported, which is a net loss of 976 after tax. And that is comprised by the decline in advertising revenue, which decreased by 5%, and also the sponsorship decreased by 18%. Now, the way that sponsorship works is it's very important to have certainty around the programs that you have, because what happens is people buy in advance. So if there's certainty about programs that they're going to be able to sponsor, they're able to do that. Now, when the strategy changes midstream, you can almost be certain that sponsorship will not be realized. TV license revenues also decreased by 7% because we changed our methodology of collections. And I think I would just like to say at this point that with us having gone back to the way that we were collecting prior, the past 3 months have shown a huge improvement. I think with June showing an improvement of about 17 million month on month, and in this month of September, we are showing an improvement of about 30 million in collection. So we just want to also thank the public for showing confidence in us again and starting to pay their TV licenses. We really appreciate. From an operational expense point of view, the numbers remained pretty much static from an expense point of view. And the reduction that we saw was really because of the big number of payout stroke people that that left the organization. But the big issue is that at the end of March, we had 81 million in the bank as opposed to 800 million the prior year. So that really got to eat into our reserves, because when you have such a low cash reserve and your revenues are not coming in, you start to put pressure on your reserves, and that's how we ended up eroding that 800 million that we had at a point. Okay, so it's just on the other aspects, and I think Minister started to talk to these deliverables in terms of the content that was procured, because one of the deliverables that we have is to ensure that we also provide content from people with disabilities, and we've managed to do that, albeit limited because we did not have enough funds. There's also the challenge that we have with the provincial procurement because of the lack of infrastructure. So you find that a lot of people move to Johannesburg, and we are very mindful that the only way to achieve success and a turnaround on this is for us to actually form partnerships with the provinces so that we were able to enable it. But SABC can't do it alone. It's just because of the lack of infrastructure overall. We've also seen that SABC Radio has also continued to do well, achieving a 71% audience share. There was also some progress that was made around technology infrastructure, but one of the key projects that could not be completed is the one that the minister spoke about around the SCC automation. That is absolutely broadcast critical for us because that's how we transmit, but due to financial issues, we really at high risk from that point of view, so that has been halted because the supplier would like 50% upfront payment, because I think that's where we are now, that people are wanting money before they can provide any service, which is very difficult for us to trade with. And then there's, that's pretty much it. From a human resources point of view, we did not do well at all, because as Minister said, there was no performance management, but I'm happy to say that at this point, we have signed with all the group executives. They've got a deadline until the 15th of October to sign with all the general managers, and it's going to trickle further down. Training and development was also an issue that we did send people out, but not in the specific skills that we should be focusing on. And I think from a workforce plan point of view, we are currently reviewing the operating model, and we're going to also be taking on the work that's going to be done by the Public Service Commission, which is also going to assist us in terms of reviewing our model and also doing a skills audit. Group internal audit did a lot of work, but I think that, as members would know, that one of the big complaints was that their recommendations were not being implemented by management, and this is really just an issue of discipline, which I think there's a renewed commitment from management to actually follow through the audit recommendations and implement those, because it was clear in the past year that had that base work been done, we would not be having some of the challenges that we found ourselves having through when the Auditor General came to. So I think at this point I will hand over the numbers to the Acting CFO.
Thank you. Morning to the members, and thank you for the opportunity that you've afforded us to present to you. Just on the financial statements, on the first page, on slide 17, we actually detail the opinions that we've had, you know, in the past 7 years, starting from 2011, where we started with a qualification with one paragraph of emphasis. But where we are now, we are sitting with an adverse opinion that we got from the AG with 6 paragraphs, which is a huge regression from where we were if you look at 2014. So the first point, and I'm sure this was dealt with when the AG presented to the committee, the first paragraph was relating to the going concern issue, which we've dealt with extensively to highlight the fact that SABC is unable to pay their debts as they become due on a monthly basis. So we all know that on average we need about 600 million to actually meet our obligations, which is not the case right now. So this is actually covering that point. And then the second issue regarding is related to irregular expenditure, which I'll be dealing with in the next 2 slides to give the details of where we are with irregular expenditure. And then the third paragraph dealt with property, plant, and equipment. So this is a big issue which is actually tied to the deferred government grant as well, where SABC, we as the SABC were unable to actually substantiate the balance that's sitting in our books. So a lot of work has to go this year, you know, to try and address that issue. And then the other issue dealt with trade and other payables, which is a basic, you know, accounting issue whereby we have to do monthly reconciliations with for all our suppliers, which led to SABC has not been doing, and therefore this came out. And then the deferred government grant, as I've alluded to, relates to the property, plant, and equipment. And then the accumulated, and then the AG actually raised an issue about the misstatements that were found in the financials, which were accumulated and reflected in the report. So in the next slide, we actually show what the irregular expenditure was. So currently we're sitting with about 4.4 billion of irregular expenditure, which started at about 5.1, which was reported at last year. So what happened is there was a lot of work that was done, which actually discovered the fact that of the irregular expenditure of 5.1 that was reported, there was 1.4 which was not correctly disclosed, and therefore that reduced the balance to 3.7. And then in addition, what arose in the 2016-17 year, which is the current fiscal that we're looking at, is the 686 million, which ended up giving us a balance of 4.4. So this actually, the 4.4 is a reflection of the past 5 years and the irregular expenditure that arose in the past 5 years. So it's not just a one-year figure. So what relates to this year that we're reporting is just the 686. So in terms of the details of what makes it up, it's more around the procurement process, where we never obtained a minimum number that's required by the SCM policy, which was 71 million. And then there was issues where we didn't advertise the tenders for a period that is required as per the policy itself. It's 52 million related there. And then the incorrect evaluation and the criteria that was applied, there was 33 million that was actually coming out of that. And then there was irregular awards that were done due to lack of planning. So this is where we're finding ourselves with pressure of us avoiding to be black on air, where we actually have to actually continue and procure as not required by the act, by the policy. And then there's an issue about 79 million which came out of the DEF that was contravened. So all in all, it's the 686 million which was not in accordance to policy, which arose this year. So in terms of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, so this is where we've actually paid and not received like a full benefit as the SABC. The breakdown there of what makes up what the movement is for this year is that 74 million. So of the 74 million, 65 million of it is the settlements that we did this year to employees that left the corporation. So the 65 plus the 6 million of legal fees that was associated, you know, with the settlements themselves. So if you take out the two numbers, you know, the actual fruitless number, it goes down to about less than 3.5 million. And then in terms of what happened subsequent to the year end is that we have that 4.4 billion that was reported as irregular. And then subsequent to that, we then did work to understand what was the cause of it. So the determination was that 2.1 billion of it had to do with awards that were made without obtaining an original tax clearance certificate. So what happened is that those awards were done based on a copy of the tax clearance certificate, which was provided by the suppliers. So we then applied applied for condemnation for those for the 2.1 billion, which were granted by the interim board. And subsequent to that, we were advised by the AG to actually apply to National Treasury to actually sign off on the condonation itself. But Treasury came back to say that it is not in their duty to do that. If the board has given that sign off, it's sufficient. So we can therefore assume that the sign off that we got from the interim board is sufficient to give the condonation. And then I won't go into detail on the actual numbers which we've actually touched on. So when you look at the revenues themselves, that last year we were sitting with 7.9 billion and currently we are sitting with 7.5. So our revenue shrunk, and this the biggest driver of this shrinkage was the advertising revenue. was the advertising revenue, which was coming from traffic and sponsorship revenue. And then when you look at the investment that we did on our program Film and Sports Right, we increased our investment with about 400 million. So the increased investment was a requirement due to us increasing as well our local quotas. So that actually led to the loss that we're currently seeing of about a billion before tax and 976 after the tax. So the reasons that we are actually outlining, which are coming in the next page, are due to the revenue decline, which we've talked about. And then we've seen as well that our cash reserves have actually shrunk. So we've invested about 300 million in capital projects, which are outlined on the financial statements to be more broadcast related and purchase of improvements to our properties. And then we've actually increased as well our investment in meeting our mandates, which is more for sports and the events of national importance. And then we had an increase in our royalty fee payments. Initially, we were paying royalties for radio at about 3% of our revenue, based on 3% of our net revenue. But however, this decision was actually changed to pay revenues at 4%. So that actually led to a decrease in our cash resources and our profitability. And then what we did as well, we had additional investments in content costs, which was the 80-20 and the 90-10 investment in music quotas for radio. And then the other was minimal, which was the increase in the personal cost, which was above inflation, and increases as well due to settlements that we had. And then this slide here actually shows us the split of our revenue. So we are still highly dependent on commercial revenue at about 76% of advertising, plus 5% coming from which comes from sponsorship. And then I've alluded to the reasons why the decline in the commercial revenue. So it was more the tough economic conditions which were spoken about by the group CEO, and then the changes in the TV license collection strategy, where we actually changed our processes in how we collect TV licenses. And then the other issue was more related to the investment in the local content, which was an effect that we had of 29 million on radio and 183 that we lost on TV. And then we had losses as well that were due to implementation of the system. And then in the next slide, we are actually showing what the split of our expenses are. So we are still highly, we are still spending a lot of money paying for salaries. So about 32% of our expenses go to salaries, and then 19 plus the 7% goes into broadcasting. And then the other costs are still below the 10% mark. So we still, this is a position that we actually need to change so that we can become more profitable. And then on the balance sheet itself, we do show the fact that on the assets, our assets are currently sitting at 4.8 billion, coming from 5.8. The biggest drop there is the cash reserves. As you can see that we were sitting with 881 last year, we're currently sitting with 81 million. So that 800 million is straightly coming from, comes from the drop in cash. And then the other drop comes from our trade receivables, where we were actually soliciting our supplier, our debtors to actually pay us early. So this therefore resulted in the reduction in the balance itself. And then on the liabilities themselves, we're sitting with liabilities of about an equity of about 4.8. But there we are actually showing the fact that last year we had a deferred tax asset which was actually reduced, which was actually taken off because we are currently sitting in a loss position and we can't carry that. And then the other thing that we just need to highlight on the balance sheet itself is the fact that we normally had prepayments which were huge and sitting in the balance sheet, but due to the fact that we're now having cash crisis, we were forced to actually renegotiate and delay the upfront payments. And then on the last slide, you do see that we do highlight our achievements and awards, which is a whole list of achievements that were achievements that were done by radio, and achievements from TV itself. So it's a whole list of awards that we are listing there, including our sports awards. So members are at liberty to actually read through the list. And that's where I end. Thank you.
Thank you. I think these last few slides are really just capturing what we've already spoken about in terms of what was not achieved. So it's just a further detail of the predetermined objectives. So go through them. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can you point me to a page where you are dealing with the editorial policy in your slides?
There is no page about the editorial policy, because there's reference to it, but we have only started in this fiscal, so this we are dealing with up until March. The statement is the performance up until March. So the progress about the editorial policy now is that we had requested, the teams had requested an extension, because as they were going through the provinces, they realized that there was more work that needed to be done. So the extension was then up until the 30th of September. But initially, we were going to finish it in August, so we then gave a month extension. So now it's being consolidated for the second round, because now we're going to go back to all the places that we went to now present the consolidated one.
Thank you. Are you done, Minister?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah, bon, that's the report of the SABC progress report on SABC third quarter. Why do I talk about that? Why do I talk about quarter report when it's annual report? Correction, it's an annual report. Members, let us engage on the report. Honorable Fandam.
Thanks, Chair. I think the presentation and the annual report confirms what we've known and was revealed during the SABC inquiry. Gross financial mismanagement, irregular expenditure in the billions, wasteful expenditure, severe losses. So it confirms what we know. So what I'm interested in is more the way forward. I think we've spent a lot of time talking about the problems at the SABC. So now I'm interested in moving forward. What's being done to make sure that we don't come back here next year and we have the same conversation like we've had over the last number of years about the SABC? I would like next year for the SABC to come and present a glowing annual report showing no irregular expenditure, no wasteful expenditure, and showing an SABC that we can be proud of, because I think we've spent a lot of time as Parliament investing in finding out where the problems are. So I must be honest and say I am a little bit worried about the direction that things are going now, and I have a few questions about the way forward. Now, we know that the interim board had spent quite a bit of time advertising for the top three positions and interviewing, and in fact told us that they'd found suitable candidates, which were now awaiting the minister's approval. Now, we know in media reports that on Sunday that the minister had apparently requested that the interim board chair provide her with those names so those names can be approved by the ANC's deployment committee. That for me is seriously concerning, because the reason why the SABC has found itself in the situation it has is because of political interference, it's because of people deployed to certain positions because of their close proximity to the ruling party. So I'd like the minister to confirm whether this is indeed true, that she requested that she be given those names for approval by the deployment committee. And then also the minister has now said that she's not happy with those names of the top three individuals that have been interviewed. What are the reasons for that unhappiness? I think we need to be taken in confidence as Parliament about who those individuals are, what their CVs are, why are they not suitable. I think we need to be taken into confidence. What is wrong with those individuals? And then also, quite importantly, what's the way forward now? Are the positions going to be re-advertised? What's going to happen? Where is the process as we speak? What's the way forward? And then I'm also concerned about what decisions have been taken over the last three weeks that the SABC has been without support. We know that there are certain decisions that must meet board approval. In terms of the SABC charter, the board is ultimately responsible for the affairs of the SABC. They're the accounting authority. That's why it was actually difficult for us to even have this meeting without a board here, because they are the ones that ultimately account to us. So what decisions have been taken over the last couple of weeks, particularly financial decisions? The 11 million bonus that is shown in the annual report that was paid to Saudi Motsuneng, we know that the interim board was withholding that until Saudi paid back the money. Is that still the case? Has that money been paid to him? Where is that money? The disciplinary action against James Aguma, has that been held in abeyance until a board has been appointed? What's going on with that? So my concern is about a lot of the decisions that the interim board had taken. Where are those decisions now? What's happening? Have any of them, you know, been changed? And then, Minister, the SABC board appointments. I am very concerned also that you were involved in that process, because in terms of the Broadcasting Act, it's very clear that Parliament interviews, vets, and recommends, and then it is the President that appoints the board. There's absolutely, in terms of the Broadcasting Act, no involvement of the Minister. I think it was not the right decision for that to be put in your lap, and you should have, in fact, referred it back to the Presidency and said, it is your role, Mr. President, to make sure that you appoint the board. It is not my duty to make sure that I undertake the vetting process, particularly if Parliament, the body that is in charge with recommending those names, has already done thorough vetting. I think you should have referred that back to the Presidency, because in public you became associated with the person that was appointing the board. You were the spokesperson for it. You were the one responding to queries. You should have referred it back to the Presidency, because it's not actually your job. It's the President's job. And then in terms of some of the reports that I read, was that there were some members that were requested to submit additional documentation. I don't know if I read that correctly. Was it some or all? Were all candidates that were recommended vetted a second, or was it just some? And if it was just some, why is it just some? How was that decision taken to vet some of them and not all of them? And what basis were those some candidates vetted? I think that's all for now, Chair.
That was the only hand? Oh. Honorable Kongwele.
Thank you, Chair. One must appreciate the presentation. General to the Minister, the material emphasis on performance information, they cut across, not just SABC. And if you go to area of key controls, SABC is in the disaster zone. Without repeating in things that the honourable member said, that I think what we need, Chair, without repeating what the AG said, is that there must be a day where the department, together with entities, present to the committee, because I think this is what has been missing a number of times, present to the committee a plan to correct these issues. Because that is not being done, they keep on being repeated. For instance, CEO, one is looking at the use of these words which would be nice under normal circumstances. But the content that insults them. For instance, we speak here of the strategic outcome-oriented goals. One went to your heading financial sustainability, content and platforms, human resource, governance. What one can pick there? What is the intended to be done over what period? Before that, which is, and what is envisaged and what is going to be done? Let me put it this way. For instance, if you go to financial sustainability and you say goal, remember, we meet you quarterly. When one looks under that thing, goal there, one doesn't know what you intend to achieve in a quarter. Same apply to all of them. In other words, when we meet in a quarter, because of the manner the performance information is articulated, there's totally no sense across the board. So if we meet you quarterly, we're supposed to meet you because you had a predetermined results to be finished by that quarter. Because we know your predetermined results. When we meet you in that quarter, we must be able to say, are you on course towards realizing financial sustainability? And then you can go to all goals that doesn't exist, all of them. In other words, the performance version as articulated here makes it difficult for the committee to do useful oversight. To me, it's a serious indictment. Why I call it serious indictment is that it cannot be understood. It cannot be understood. Why is it normal for anyone to have a performance plan of this nature and it's signed, it's your performance, when we cannot explain what we want you to perform? Minister has already said, for instance, in the past, the minister was saying there were no performance agreements and whatever, people given bonus. I commend the minister for citing that. But the problem is that why Chair Wan is saying there's a need in a short space of time for them to come back and correct these issues. Because we cannot, if we take ourselves seriously, we cannot wait for another annual report to still report on things that we don't know what those things are. Now the question is, when we approve, actually speaks bad about us. I know the minister, when I raised this thing last, he says, I was not there, minister. He said, you were there, part of that, and so on. I was saying, minister, that under normal circumstances, we're not supposed to approve budgets with a senseless information of this nature. Because it also speaks about us here as a portfolio government. When you say we approve budget, we approve the budget to do what? It's not clear here across the board. Now, if you go to key controls, or I've already spoken about that, I'm sorry, and the records of adverse finding on SABC and a general downward slide, all I'm saying, I don't want to spend a lot of time repeating what we've said a number of times, because even your short presentation, which seeks to, because when I read the main document, I thought when the presentation comes, maybe it will assist us to get clarity, because the point is, I thought if we read these things alike in the same way, you would say, I was not there. I know that's an easy one to say. I was not there. But at least in your presentation now, you would anticipate your critical view. But it's not there. You present now as if this thing is normal. When we Yes, it's just frustrating. But my proposal is that, Chair, can in a short space of time, the department or together come and deal with the following. Remember the three areas that AG deals with: fair representation of statements, with no significant material misstatements, your compliance with the laws and regulations that deal with financial matters, and the third one being the performance information, which is central, that deals with the articulation of realization of the predetermined objectives. All is wrong. A month is even too long, Chief, for them to come to us and demonstrate how they intend, in the one that will be monitoring now, making sense of this. I thought there's a lot of things that I hear, and one, in the words of Honorable Fandami, you do want to repeat things that we have seen that are there, but I agree and follow that process. Let's work together in a more effective interaction in correcting these things. I'm saying within a month, can the department with the evidence come and say, because there's another thing, the last one, Chair, is when that comes, can we be presented, Minister, with what is the oversight unit, the state of readiness of the oversight unit of entities? Because the biggest money of the department, where it goes to entities. Is it 95% or 75% or something like that? Yet, you don't have a sense that the oversight unit, AG, if you were here, we challenge the AG that on the oversight unit, there's no material emphasis. Yet entities are in trouble. Yet the unit is supposed to be dealing with the state of what to call of entities. But how does your oversight unit get that brilliant color when what it's supposed to do is at a zero level? So when they come, Chair, presentation on the readiness of the state of the oversight unit to do that oversight, both in terms of resourcing it from the point of money, skills, and everything. Because again, these two things are critical. I'm saying the senseless performance information, the non-readiness of the oversight unit to deal with entities, if those two are not dealt with, our relationship is not based on anything. Thanks.
I'm sure Honorable said it's going to raise a number of questions. But what Honorable Kungubele is saying, in your report there is nothing that says, by now I don't think we need a plan, we need something that has been done. Yes, plan, fine, but something that has been done. Just go to the fraud and consequence management page on AG's report. It's very succinct, very clear as to what needs to be done. But I haven't seen that in the report. That on those cases we have done, it will be nice if you can get something like that, Honorable Kungubele. On those cases, this A, B, C, D we have done, and we don't see, because consequent management is a very critical issue if you want to go forward in dealing with issues. Honorable Tseti.
I think one other reason why we are in this state of affairs, you remember at some stage we had agreed on a principle which says that every time the entities and the department come to appear before the committee, we'll need briefing on the issues that we have raised in our past engagements. whether they are coming here for a quarterly report, an annual report, at least we need a briefing on the issues that we have raised in our previous engagement. Because then there is no reason why we must call people here. Because these issues that we raise, like today, we are not raising them for compliance purposes. We want action on these issues. So even today, over and above this document, this presentation, to me, there was supposed to be a separate presentation. We talked to the issues that we have raised in the last engagement. And if there are difficulties, we should then be able to know where are those difficulties, why are certain things not attended to. That's one issue. Honorable Monday spoke about slide 17, which is a very worrisome situation, the adverse opinion, with six paragraphs. It is a very serious issue that says all is not well, and obviously we'll have to do something about it. But I need to raise three issues that will need to be responded to. One is with regard to consultancy fees. If we can be briefed on the work that has been done by consultants during the whole financial year that we are talking about now. Linked to that one is the issue of the loss in the audience. To me it's not enough to just say there's this thing. Perhaps we were supposed to be getting a plan to deal with this particular issue of the loss of audience with regard to the work that you are supposed to do, that you are doing. Somewhere, I don't remember what page, where you are talking about decline in sponsorship as well. It's important as well to also brief us on how do you find yourself correcting this particular challenge going forward. The last one, Chair. We asked the members of the interim board in one of the engagements about the claims that they were making with regard to the work that they have been doing. And the reason why we asked that question was because in one of the engagements there was an issue which says they have since decided not to claim because of the work that they are doing until such time that the company is financially stable. So when we raised, I think in the last engagement, there was like something completely different from what we were told earlier. So it might be important for now to be told how much has been claimed collectively by the members of the interim board in the last 6 months. It's important because I'm raising this thing because there was a contradictory information that we got in our last engagement while we were told that we are not claiming because we are waiting for the company to be financially stable. Now, of late, we were then told, no, we've been claiming. Can we be clarified on this particular issue? Chair, having said that, I'm saying the report says all is not well. I think I appreciate the work that has been done in the area of TV license revenue. As you have indicated that in the last 2 months, there is a bit of improvement in that area. I think we appreciate it, really. Because this is one other area that we have always been complaining about. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. I'll start with the Honorable Van Damme's questions. Section 101 of the Constitution reads Section 101.2. A written decision by the President must be countersigned by another cabinet member if that decision concerns a function assigned to that other cabinet member. Now, whether or not I was supposed to have gotten involved in this process, I think the Constitution is very clear on that. But the extent of my involvement is another matter. If I am requested to assist in a process and there is nothing that I see as untoward in providing that type of assistance, that is exactly what I will do because a request has been put to me. As the department, we were requested to assist with this process. And maybe this will give me an opportunity to also correct what other people feel and think that I also felt and thought about the matric certificates of the candidates. I also thought it was a bit frivolous of us to expect people with post-matric qualifications to present a matric certificate. But what was raised with us was that if you have claimed to have a matric certificate, present it so that it can be determined whether or not it was obtained fraudulently. So my feeling as well was in line with a lot of people that if you have a post-matric qualification, really what's the issue here? But nonetheless, that is what had happened. I know that all candidates, it was not some candidates, it was all candidates. We couldn't have asked for further information on people for provision and discriminate against others. Everybody was asked to provide further information, and we didn't ask certain people or some of the members. The recruitment process of CEO and COO. Again, I don't want to appear as though I'm maligning the very good candidates, the six very good candidates that had been suggested to me for the post of CEO and COO. But you must remember that according to the MOI, I have a responsibility to approve the profiles before the recruitment process has begun. That's what the MOI says. And I raised that with the interim board chairperson. And their understanding was different from mine because I suspect they thought I was working on an MOI that had not been approved by the CIPC. So we were at cross purposes on that one, and they went ahead nonetheless. Now, when I saw the candidates, and looking at the magnitude of problems that we've experienced in the SABC, I had to be very circumspect about that because ultimately it is not the board that is finally accountable on matters relating to the SABC, but you hold me accountable. If the board messes up, you will hold me accountable. And I then went through the names that had been given. And I don't want to appear to malign people because I will not do that. But safe to say, had that process been shared with me and a common understanding between me and the interim board insofar as the type of individual required was concerned, it would have made things a lot more easier. When the names came to me, people had some experience in broadcasting as presenters, but not at an executive level. There was no way, Honorable Van Damme, I would have appointed a person that has experience as a presenter or a junior or person who comes from a junior management in the organization and appoint that person as a COO of the organization. Because basically the COO is the one that is responsible for the operational matters. of the organization, and you need someone who has specific experience both in television and radio broadcasting, and at a particular level, not at the level at which I had seen the CVs of the candidates. So that was the difficulty that I had. The interim board gave me profiles to approve post facto. Now, I had a problem with that because the process of the SABC inquiry spoke to exactly that, issues of governance, issues of compliance. There was no way I was going to condone that because I had informed people that this is the process and people did not want to listen. Now, when the names finally came through to me, as I said earlier on, they did not speak to what I would have wanted as the ultimate accounting.
A point of order.
I want your counseling. We are bordering on dealing with the assessment of people who might be appointed or not appointed. And I'm not sure if we're working on correct ground in the manner we deal with the question now. One would have been comfortable if the minister asserted their authority in terms of constitution and so on. Maybe the nature of the question forced her to call that. I'm saying your counseling is going to assist because we might find ourselves dealing with the details we're not supposed to deal with as a committee.
Yeah. I'm not very sure, members. This one caught me off guard. Yes, Honourable Funder.
Thanks, Chair. I think we have a duty as the body that conducts oversight over the SABC that we be taken into confidence about that process because we need to know there was an interim board, they've interviewed people and they've said, you know, they thought them suitable. The minister doesn't think them suitable. I think this is an issue that's very key to the way forward that we discussed about. That's the information we want to know about. How does the problems at the SABC get fixed? So I think that's very, very critical to actually what we're discussing. Because even Honorable Gungubele said what he would have liked today is a report about what is the way forward. So I think this is central to the way forward, making sure that there's permanent top management. So I don't think there's anything wrong that we put ourselves in a position where we're now assessing candidates. I think we need to have this information as Parliament, and I don't think there's anything wrong with the manner in which the Minister has reported it to us.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think the manner the question was put really maybe forced the minister to get into that detail she had to get into. But I had the same feeling with Honorable Gungubele that indirectly or directly we are busy assessing. I don't think it's fair. I think it suffices for me, for the minister to say, I was not taken into confidence by the interim board. And that should just end there. Because my worry is for us to do something that will come back to haunt us as a portfolio committee. Because before us, there's no item that seeks to assess or even to review the process that was followed. So I had the same feeling. I think the question was put. She had to give that explanation. However, we're bordering exactly to what Honorable Gungubele is saying. I think for me, if you can just end it there, note the fact that the minister had these difficulties with the process. And we are in a very good environment of having to have a new board that, in my view, will have to be properly inducted for the understanding of their role
and the role of the shareholder. I think those issues should be really dealt with, especially by the portfolio committee, because if they aren't, they come back to be a problem for ourselves. So that will be my take, Chairperson. Thank you.
Bernard Kalago.
I think so far, I don't think there's anything so far wrong on the approach of the minister, based on the question itself, as the members have said. I think the only thing we can, because this is in the public domain in the first place, and whether correctly or wrongly the minister has been accused on papers publicly, I think it's correct that she clears those issues and take us into confidence, because already this is in the public domain, and it has been reported several times by the media. As long as we're not getting into, I couldn't agree with this one because of skills 1, 2, 3, that's what we must run away. As long as the minister doesn't get into that, so that we don't find ourselves having said we have actually assessed them. But I think the trend, she's right. She must actually answer and explain herself, so that also she clears her name. Because yes, she has been accused of getting involved in areas which I think there is a committee, one just that to be cleared, to, as long as we're not getting into what qualifications of the candidate, what one who qualifies or who doesn't, as long as we're not getting into that. I think she's right.
Okay, thanks. Can you proceed, Minister, with that understanding?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I was very clear from the onset that I really would not want to malign any of the candidates, because, truly speaking, they are very good candidates. But I outlined what I was expecting based on the problems of the SABC. And I might have gone into some other territory that I shouldn't have gone to, but it was all in an attempt to try and explain this thing of this minister who is not empowered to intervene on issues relating to the appointment of the three, which really is my responsibility ultimately. I'm the one that approves the position of CEO, COO, and CFO according to the MOI that is currently operational. And if I may just go through it, it says that the CEO, CFO, and COO shall be confirmed by the minister before being appointed by the board. To the board having embarked on the following processes. The board shall present the terms and conditions of appointment, that is the employment contract, to the minister for approval.
I don't know what's going on. There is some interference. There is a cell phone.
It's Van Damme. It says the board shall present the terms and conditions of appointment, which is the employment contract, to the minister for approval prior to embarking on the process of recruiting suitable candidates. Now that process starts from advertising right up to the final countdown of the six people. The board shall advertise or employ any other executive search mechanism to source potential candidates. So I just wanted to put it on record that what was expected to have been done was not done. And because we come from that situation in the SABC of non-compliance, I was not in any way going to condone a process that did not take this into account. I'm trying my very best to be a good minister to the department and also the entities under my control. So I will do that, but I will not interfere in operational issues of the SABC. That I will not do. So I think I've covered that one, Honourable.
I'm saying for now.
She says ANC deployment.
Oh. members, don't forget that let us not forget that you are talking
now,
talking to the Shadow Minister of Communications.
Is she my shadow? So you need to comply. Honorable Fontam, I think it is common knowledge, and I think it happens in your party as well. Every party that is in office will have an interest, because ultimately issues come back to that party if there is non-compliance or non-performance of individuals. And if members of the African National Congress are called to account, that's what happens. They are called to account, and I did not set the rules, and neither did this portfolio committee set those rules. It happens in all political parties. On the issues that have been raised by Honorable Gungubele, I will leave it to the CEO to respond to that. But if you remember, when I made my presentation initially, I did speak to planned interventions on all of those areas where there was non-achievement, because my presentation only looked at non-achievement. And I did outline all of the interventions that are in place. Whether or not these interventions are adequate is another matter altogether. Maybe it is something that we could all look at together and determine whether or not they will address all of these issues that you have spoken to or alluded to. Our presentation today was only insofar as the annual report was concerned. But we are quite prepared to come back to you on interventions and plans that we're putting in place, including providing the human resources required for us to deal with those issues. And I'll just give you an example. The department has not met deadline after deadline after deadline on DTT. And this was reported, and its implications were also reported in the AG's office. But what we have done is that we've put a digital migration committee in place, advisory committee in place, that involves almost all industry players to tap one into the skills within the industry, which we might not have in the department or within the entities, but also on financial resources that are available to assist us. Because you all know in this portfolio committee that our budget really would not help us to meet all of the objectives that we have set ourselves to achieve. So industry has come on board, and we are ensured the SAPC is part of this process, and so is the oversight people in the department. But again, as you said, Honorable Gungubele, that entity really needs to be beefed up. As I said last week, all positions will be filled by January next year, whether it is in the SAPC, in the MDDA, in all of my entities, all of them would be filled by the end of January. But you must also remember that there are those that would be filled very soon, because we've also gone through interviews and stuff like that, and some of the issues sit on my desk for my final approval. So we are on track with ensuring that we fill these positions, because it is an untenable situation where we have people acting forever and these positions are not filled, just really for purposes of stability of the organization and the entity. So we still have that vacancy of a DDG for oversight in the department that needs to be filled. Very urgent, I agree with you. Yeah, I think on financial, I mean, some of the interventions that we've put through, because the SAPC does not have money, we've asked other entities within government to assist. Like, for instance, your Public Service Commission, which is not necessary, which reports directly to Parliament, to assist with issues relating to human resource turnaround. We asked the National Treasury to assist us with issues that are related to financial stability. We've also asked the Auditor General as well to assist us with issues relating to financial stability as well. So even when it comes to others, for instance, we've got the Public Service Innovation Center, we have got the CSIR, we've got the HSRC. Those are organizations that we will tap into to ensure that they help us in determining or assisting us in putting together plans that will help us to effect the implementation of the strategies that we have.
Okay. Thank you for the questions. And yes, I acknowledge that some of the detail on the PDOs may not be that detailed. We are back here on the 26th of October to present our quarterly report. Now, in our... Sorry. He started. It's a predetermined objectives. Apologize. You did. So in our quarterly review, we then give the targets of the quarter. So I think that maybe because we took it for granted that we're reporting for March and we gave the full picture. However, we are going to improve. We are going to improve on that. So we acknowledge the improvement. So I think when we come back with the detail of the quarter, we will then also go into detail about the implementation plan. But maybe just at a high level, because I think Honorable Van Damme wants to know what is being done, and that's not the part that we had presented, but I'll just try and talk through it. When we, in the beginning of the fiscal, so around April, when we started with the funding document, one of the requirements was from Treasury to say, what is it that you are going to do to turn around the organization? You are not just going to tell us about wanting the money. So we did put some initiatives in the document that goes to Treasury, but we did not say we will only implement when we get the money. So some of those turnaround are the things that we are busy with now. So for instance, we are really looking at not being totally dependent on advertisers and starting to also relax some of our models in terms of how we trade. So typically how we trade is simply that you buy airtime, we give you exposure, and that's as far as it goes. We are seeking different partnerships to say, are we able to partner differently with industry in terms of co-productions as well? We're also saying that we do not have to commission and own everything. Where it's possible, where people can partner with us so that the fund does not completely depend on the SABC. Then there's a huge issue around the cost containment, to say that we have to recognize that when SABC was in the lead position, a lot has changed since then, but we've remained the same. So what is it that we're needing to do so that we can be adaptable? And this is where the work of the Public Service Commission comes in, and also the review of the operating model, because the way that we are structured, we are not agile enough in terms of actually managing to us access some of the easy funding that is available in terms of revenue. So the focus is very much on diversification of revenue as opposed to just saying it's advertising. And because we do know the challenge that our government has. We can't come back and say we want money from government, so we're looking at different sources. There's also an issue around what normally people call investor confidence. The advertisers take the lead from how we are managed and how we operate. And we have been trying to ensure that we build that relationship so that the confidence comes back. So we have regular engagements with them, and that's where the issue that you're raising around, what are we doing around sponsorships? Sponsorships simply mean people want stability. So when you say, I am going to have generations on the 4th of November, they buy into that. If you start to chop and change, then it becomes a problem. So we've been going to industry assuring them to say that the strategies that, because when the interim board came on in place, they reviewed the strategies that we had prepared and tweaked those and approved them. So at the moment, we are implementing that which they approved, I think it was in May. Was it May or June? I can't remember, but they've approved those. So we're sticking to that plan and ensuring that there's predictability and that we are going to be able to deliver those. In terms of the audience losses, we really, as I say, that people consume television in a particular way. They need to know what it is that they're going to get, and that's how the advertisers buy as well. So we're also doing long-term plans in terms of what our content offering is and what our value proposition is. Honorable Van Dam also asked about the decisions that have been made in the past 2 weeks. So today is day 14 of not having the board. We wouldn't have met with them in between. We haven't even had an exco. How it normally works is that we have an operations committee that has got a limited authority, I think, of 15 million, and then we have got exco with a higher limit. We haven't even had those meetings in the 2 weeks because they're scheduled for once a month, so they haven't happened. They were going to happen, I think, OFS is happening on Thursday, and then EXCO will happen next week. So there has not been any financial decisions that needed to be tabled. What we were mindful of is that on the 20th, the interim board also understood that it would be doing its last business in terms of the long-term plan, because we also didn't want to expect the new board to come in October and want them to make decisions. So at the moment, we've got the schedule of the 3 days in terms of the induction and exactly how we're going to run the induction. Depending on when the appointment gets done and the approval, we will then run with it. You asked the question about what is happening with all the cases. Almost all the cases are being handled by the SIU. I think the last time we were here, the proclamation wasn't signed. It then got subsequently signed. The SIU has set up office in the SABC, and they are going through all these cases. So the case of Mr. Mutsuning and Mr. Aguma, in terms of their pension money, part of what the SIU is investigating. And then I just wanted to clear something about the 11 million was paid. It was paid. Yeah, so it was the pension that was intended then to assist us to then close it. And if my memory serves me well, I think there's a court case sometime now in beginning of November or end of October. So that's in that sphere. And then there was an issue around. Okay, so I've spoken about sponsorship and audience. I'll hand over to the CFO about the claim for the board fees and also the consultancy fees. I think I've covered everything.
Okay. Just on the question relating to the professional fees, currently on the financial statements, we are reflecting a figure of 99 million, which was paid, which is split in between audit fees of 16 million, and then there's an 83 million, which is split between managerial and technical fees. So where are you asking about the benefit that was derived, you know, from paying those consulting fees? I'd really like to actually state that most of the contracts that contribute significantly to these consulting fees have been handed over for SIU investigation, and therefore that will actually determine if there was value derived, you know, from the fees themselves. So I think that's where it is, because I think a part of it was a secular contract, which we know about, that is with the SIU, and there were other three or four contracts which were handed over as well to the SIU. And then on the board fees themselves, at the end of August, we owed the board members about 2.9 million that was outstanding. So what has happened is that in the process, we have been calculating what is due and payable to them. So since they started in March, they were paid for the month of April. And then since then, they have not been paid. So what they did, this is when they had said that because SABC is in crisis, they are electing not to be paid, but wait for the, you know, for the stability to happen. So, and what has subsequently happened was the fact that, you know, due to the term of office coming to an end, there was then a discussion to say what happens then, because this decision can't be taken over and implemented, you know, to the board of 12. We then decided that we will actually pay them. So what we've done is, on last week on Wednesday, we paid what was due for May and for June, and then the balance is going to be paid at the end of October. So we are paying out what is outstanding to them. Thanks.
We we have an hour to go with SABC. And then we break for lunch at 1 and we have PM today until 5. So, but if you don't have questions, then you can call MDDA to start. Honorable Sedi and Fandam.
It's not necessarily a follow-up, Chair, but if we don't have follow-up issues to make, there's nothing wrong in us starting with MDDA. That's what I'm saying. For now, I think we're satisfied with the responses that
say that you are satisfied. You are not sure about other members. Honorable Fanda?
Thanks, Chair. I most certainly have follow-up. The Minister's response about the appointment, the process of the appointment of the top management, brings to the fore once again the issue that was discussed in the SABC inquiry about the MOI and that there's two different conflicting MOIs, approval processes, that it may conflict with other legislation. Now, in terms of the SABC charter, which I was going... Oh, here it is. My computer died for a little bit, but it's back now. In terms of the SABC charter, it says that the non-executive directors, i.e. the board, shall, after they have conducted interviews and compiled a short list of preferred candidates, recommend to the minister for his or her, in this instance, approval or rejection, the appointment of preferred candidates to fill as the executive directors of the corporation. So in terms of the SABC charter, the process followed by the board was in fact correct. In the charter, there's no provision for the minister being drawn in at the beginning of the process. So this is once again an issue that needs resolution. Which MOI is relevant? Do we rely on the SABC charter or on the MOI? And I think this is an issue that needs to be resolved. But in terms of the SABC charter, the board was absolutely correct in the way that the process that they followed. And that's a document that's not under dispute. The SABC charter is very much agreed upon by all different stakeholders. The MOI isn't. So in fact, I think if we have to choose a document to rely on, it's the SABC charter, and in terms of that document, they were correct. What the minister didn't answer is, what now? What happens now? Are they, those positions going to be re-advertised? Will the term of the acting office bearers be extended? Until what point? What are the dates? When are those, if it's going to be re-advertised, when is that process going to happen? And then about the deployment committee, I must correct the minister. I can't speak for other parties, but I can certainly speak for mine. There's no deployment committee. The only positions that we approve, and I know because I serve on those bodies, are those of political appointments, so of MACO members, of cabinet members, of chief whips. Those are the only political appointments that we approve. We do not approve positions. Those are political deployments. We do not approve the positions of state-owned entities, of civil servants, because those are not politicians. Those people that serve in those bodies are there to serve not only the DA, but everyone, regardless of political affiliation. So I must correct that. There's no deployment committee in the DA. And most certainly, I think it's quite wrong that the top management of a CEO must first be approved by a political party. There's no legal basis for that. And then the way forward, I keep coming back to this. I don't like talking only about problems.
Just on the point before this, just keep your point.
Okay.
It will be very problematic to bring the party workings in the committee. I'm not saying you are right, Minister is wrong. But discussing how parties deal with their issues, it will be wrong for us to engage on that. Because I think we started wrongly when we did talk about deployment committees and all those things. In my view, I think it's incorrect to get into that. If the governing party deals with issues in a particular way as a governing party nationally, and the governing party in the Western Cape is dealing with issues in a particular way, I don't think we must deal with that in the committee. Because we'll confuse what we are supposed to deal with in the committee. I just have that plea to the committee, not for you, even from how the minister started, the issue, the response. I think it will give us problems. The response for me is not supposed to be like that, because there will be a follow-up like what we are raising. Remember, that's my view. I don't think we need really to get into how we work as political parties. We are governing parties, and we are governing parties. It may be national or in a province and all of that. So let us not engage on those matters. I'll appeal to you, Honorable Van Damme, and the minister too, to leave the issues of parties in that particular way.
Chair, I'm going to
if the minister as a minister deployed by the ANC, and how she handles issues with her political party, it must be issues of her and the political party, not to be brought to the committee.
Chair, I'm going to respectfully disagree with your position, very much because we know that part of the reason the SABC finds itself where it is because of political interference. So political interference is very much an issue related to the SABC, but I put the question to the minister. Well, I mean, I wanted to make the point that I don't agree with ANC approving candidates for SOEs, and also to clarify the point where the minister said there's deployment committees in all parties, there's no deployment committee in the DA. The other question I wanted to ask was about the way for...
Manpind, I want us to stop this because the ANC doesn't have those processes of appointing state-owned enterprises. Whether it's the CEOs and all of that. There is nothing like that in the African National Congress. I know. So let us not get to that. Even how the minister started, it was incorrect. So I want us to leave it at that, that the ANC doesn't have a process to appoint whoever it deploys politics and political deployees, whether it's the minister, deputy,
MPs.
The MPs and all of that.
Which very much contradicts what the minister said. But moving on, because she said there's a process in the ANC, and you're saying there isn't, so I'm not sure which is the truth. But now, the way forward, which is the point I keep harping on. The acting CEO says there was a document tabled to National Treasury, which one dealt with improving the SABC's funding model, which would ensure less reliance on government funding. I would have thought that this was a document that we should have been appraised of, because it's very much our concern about how the SABC is funded, how the funding is improved, so that the National Treasury doesn't have to keep dishing out bailouts and government guarantees. So I thought that would be a document that we should have very much been appraised of. For me, it's still a serious concern that we had to find out about that amount in a about way in a different committee. It was tabled before the Select Committee of Finance, the amount. But we were not told that amount. I mean, the minister has refused to speak to that amount. So can I request then at that first quarter meeting, which is the 20-somethings of October, that document, can we agree as a committee that document, which one
speaks to the way forward about the SABC in terms of its funding model, which two deals with the $3 billion guarantee that's been requested. Can I request that that document be provided to us? I think it's really, really irregular that that information has been kept from us. We need to know, we need to be comfortable as the body that is doing oversight, comfortable with the fact that the SABC is actually seized with these issues and that they considered how to improve the SABC's funding model, how to deal with the problems that Honorable Gungubele was talking about. So at that meeting, can we have that report, and then can we have a full report about how they're going to deal with these problems? We can't keep talking about the problems. We need to now talk about what are the solutions, how are we fixing this. Thanks, Chair.
Obviously, a document presented to SCOPA, surely there will be no problem to get it as the comment. That matter, we must just put it to rest like that. We'll have to get that document. It's not an embargoed document. It's in the public domain. Okay, there are follow-up questions that Honorable Van Dam was raising. Except those I've dealt with. I've dealt with some of the issues. I don't want us to go back there.
Chairperson, just to correct something. I never said that there's deployment committees in every party. I said every party would have an interest in process. Not the appointment of CEO or anything to that effect, in process. So I was very clear that I did not say, yes, that's what I said. And I did not say there is a deployment committee. I never used the word deployment committee. That was you, Honorable Member. On the funding proposal, in the next meeting, it shall be done, Shadow Minister. We will present that to you. But you must also understand that, you know, I respected process because I was waiting for the Minister of Finance to either look at the document and determine a way forward, because there's so many things that still need to go into that document that has come up in deliberations that we've had with the Treasury. So it will not be a final product in any case, but for the input and assistance of the committee, I shall gladly bring that document before your eyes. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. Pumzil, what are we saying, Honorable Van Dam? Okay. I think the Minister responded, clarified some of the issues. Any other response that is outstanding from the questions posed? No outstanding, but there is a follow-up question from Honorable Van Dam.
Chair, I just have a question for the acting CEO. Sorry, I forgot to ask this one. What is the status of the merger of the Henley Studios and the News Resource? What's the status with that?
The CEO is actually handling that project, so.
Thank you, Honorable Van Dam. We have reversed that merger. We're in the process of aligning the systems because that's what we've done. That's where we are.
Can you repeat it?
Okay. She asked about the status of the merger because there was a merger of two entities. One was technology and the other was the news department. There was then a complaint which was presented to us as a petition that from the affected colleagues, mostly who were in the news department. We then engaged the complaint to understand how they were affected, although the objective was a business objective to consolidate all our resources in areas where the utilization was not what it should be and which also led to
unnecessarily wastages in some of the areas. But we've met with the affected colleagues and we've agreed that we will undo the measure, which is what has happened. We are now in the process, because there were two divisions which were brought together. We're now in the process of aligning the systems. I hope that satisfied you.
Okay. You seem lost, Pumzile, on the response. I want us to finish that response before we go to the minister.
How much money was lost from this merger, and has any of that money been recovered?
The merger itself, there was no money lost. Remember, there were two divisions. There was the technology division as well as the news division. Some of the facilities were not properly utilized, so what we did was to consolidate. So there wasn't money. All we did was put together whatever cost which were incurred in the different areas. So there was no money that was lost in the process. But there is a complaint that the merger itself was as a result of some money lost, which is being investigated. But the process itself did not result in a loss.
So, in other words, there is a measure.
There was a measure, which resulted in a complaint from some of our colleagues. We then unbundled the measure, which is where we are at now.
Okay. Measure was undone.
Yes.
Acting CEO, before the minister.
No, I just wanted to explain that. These are two departments within the SABC where there are similar kind of work. So news department would have similar resources, technology would have similar resources. At a point, there was a recognition that if we pool the resources, it could result into cost savings. And that was the business objective that she makes reference to. Now, that the implementation or the rollout was probably not done in the best of manners in terms of change management and also taking people along is what resulted into the complaint. But certainly, there was no monies that would have been moved from here to there. If anything, maybe it's a reallocation of the budgets, which is an internal process. It says no money.
I think it's... clear. No, it's not different from what the acting CEO was saying, but there was an addition that clarifies it. Minister?
Chairperson, on that question of the charter versus the MOI, the only MOI that is operational is the one signed off by Minister Karim. And the issue was the dispute with the interim board had nothing to do with the fact that they could have looked at the charter. The issue was about which MOI was operational. That was the issue. And the one signed by Minister Karim is not under dispute.
Clear? You remember from the ad hoc committee, this was one of the issues. And the clarity is that what is used and confirmed by, is it CPIC, is the 2014 MOI. After that, there is no other MOI recognized. Are you fine?
But the point to be made, Chair, that in terms of the charter, the process they followed was not incorrect. That's the point I'm making, that the charter says that the board, what's the exact wording, the board interviews and then the minister approves. So in terms of that document, that process is not incorrect.
Can I give you a minister before, so that we can step off this matter, because we are going in circles on it. Honourable Minister.
But in terms of the MOI, which both parties were referring to, the board was incorrect.
Honourable Kongbele.
I propose that we close. If there was no MOI that the minister is referring to, I would understand. But if there's an MOI which she correctly quotes, I see no clash. I see no clash. For instance, if the SABC chart was against provision of the submission of a profile, I would understand, Honourable Fandel. But the charter simply focuses on what she says. But the MOI goes further and say, so I don't understand the clash. I propose we close the matter.
Let's proceed. I think it's clarified. Let's proceed. Let's proceed. Members, I think we're done with SABC if you are satisfied. But sizahlukana sinjalo ne-SABC. There are so many decisions that we have taken as the committee, and all those surely will have to be again packaged so that when you come back, when are they coming back? On the 26th of October. I think we must get to a situation where we say this is what we resolved as the committee for you to act. And say A, B, C, D up to Z. And when you come back, you say this is how far we've gone. Because it talks to the plan that Honorable Kongbele was saying. I mean, if you just work and there is no plan to deal with what we... By the way, we don't request these things. We instruct you as the entity to do. And if they are not done, there is something that we must do about you as management of SABC. I was listening to another committee. I don't want to go to that extent. The practices of other countries, if you are not doing what you are supposed to do, as people who come to us, you are arrested. I don't want to go there because in other countries, that's happening. So we'll have to do that again, just to give you the resolutions of the committee. And remind you that this, because of this change of people in SABC, one day it was this one who was the CEO, today is this one acting, and COO acting. Who's not acting, by the way? All of you acting. Honorable Kalago, this is another Hollywood minister. The sooner we do these appointments, the better. Maybe we must release SABC now, and it's half past 12. Surely we must extend our start of lunch from 1 to half past 1, so that we give MDDA an hour with us as a first bite, and then after that we go for lunch at half past one. If you want to benefit from our lunch at CBC, you'll have to wait for half past one. But if not, then you can leave. Or if you want to listen to MDDA when we engage with MDDA, you may sit and wait for your flights here. It will benefit you, I assure you. Thank you very much, members. Let's let's call your team to join you, Minister. Then it's very clear that we'll have to allow them to prepare 5 minutes. Fortunately, there is nobody smoking. There is tea outside. Fortunately, in this house, there is nobody smoking. So it's not a smoke break, it's a leg stretch break.
Somebody. I was saying, I said from the beginning, we can't come to people because they're employees. Because if they come here as individuals, fine.
They can be used as friends.
You can't
point
them for like
even in parliament.
You can't allow
them. They must not use the word. They can call them from the top part.
These guys, you ask them to provide a table.
Because
yeah, if you can see what they provided.
Come
on, Kulula. Minister this morning, then he said, no, I'm not going to ask this one to do what I want. They have to do it now.
Guys, but also, but what we want to do is maybe go to lunch. If we don't read the
document,
we
don't do
anything for the
session. Which one?
What the envelope there, guys,
what are you up to? You don't fight, man. No, man, it's like you are, no, you guys, no, you're up to something. I plead the blood of Jesus. Yeah.
You go.
They want to be asked.